You're listening to the Transform Your Nutrition Podcast with your hosts, Rebecca Heald and Jeff Ash. Our purpose is to help individuals and families transform their relationships with food and develop healthy bodies, minds, and attitudes, all without restriction, guilt, or shame.
And we are live. So, hello and welcome, David and Jeff. Thank you for joining me today to talk about this really, really super important topic. But anybody who is watching, Jeff and I are joined today by David Koneman, all the way as well from New York, who is joining us to talk about mental health under pressure, and in particular when working from home. David is a coach. He coaches people around this area. He works with people that are working from home. And I am going to actually let David introduce himself rather than me going into it, because he's going to do a much, much better job than myself. But if anybody is watching right now, I know we've just started, but if you're watching or you're watching the replay, please say hello. Let us know where you're from. Are you from the UK? Are you from the States or anywhere else in the world? Let us know. Let us know if this is something you're doing right now. Are you working from home more often than you would be in the past? If you've got any questions about it, if you've got any questions that crop up as we go along, or just any questions around stress management, mental health, nutrition, exercise, etc., as usual, because we would love to answer them live today. If you're watching the replay, please hashtag replay and also comment, say hello so that we know that you are there. But without further ado, I will let David introduce himself. So good morning to you, David. It's
Yes, thank you very much. I was just mentioning before we started the show, the sun is just coming up. So now you got a little sunlight on my face. So that's great.
Oh, that's a vacation for you.
Yeah.
Is the sun up where you are yet, Jeff?
No, it's still completely dark outside. But as it lights up, we'll probably get a glow from my window over here. So,
what are you talking about? It's lovely and bright.
Yeah, that's a green screen.
Makes you look like you're on vacation. Correct.
Yeah,
I am. I do not have this view from my house in Houston.
I'll talk to you about that later, because we were talking about you yesterday, me and Leanne, as always. But anyway, so David, please do introduce yourself.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you, Rebecca. Great to meet you, Jeff. I'm David Koneman. I'm based here in New York City. One of the main things I'm doing right now, it's really growing into quite a movement, and we don't even want to talk about COVID because nobody wants to talk about that anymore. But at the end of the day, the work from home movement is growing, and I started in 2018 trying to coach this. I wrote a couple of books. One was, basically how to get hired at a work from home, back before anybody could spell COVID. And then also wrote a blueprint. It was a book called Blueprint. It was basically about, once you get into that position, how to go ahead and excel and get promoted. That was so successful, I kind of took a step back and decided to do more of a group coaching approach, which I'm coming out with some new material. But, you know, this isn't really a promo about me. It's just, you know, who I am and what I'm doing right now. Some of the areas we're talking about in work from home, we'll get into the discussion as we talk here, is just talking about, you know, the mental health. That's a big one. How do you do it? How do you survive? How do you get promoted? There's things like, what's the word they use? FOMO, fear of missing out at the office, things like that. So we'll get into a lot of that. And I think it'll be an open discussion.
Yeah.
Like I told Rebecca, I've got some disclaimers. A couple of them are, number one, I love to tell stories. So you guys may have to stop me if I go too long. I like to keep it short, because stories are just an easy way to make a point.
Yes.
Make information more understandable. And the other one I also said, and that's why I'm relying on you guys to help out here, is I'm an armchair expert when it comes to mental health and nutrition. I'm read up, I've talked to experts, but I'm no way professionally trained. So I think just be a good conversation. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's me.
Excellent. Thank you.
Yeah, sounds good.
Yeah, well, I think it's such an important topic right now. And obviously it is having an impact. Working from home, mental health, nutrition, physical, exercise, all of it is all interlinked. We can't look at one without looking at the other. And I think this is the thing, that Jeff and I always talk about as well, is that, whilst we are nutritionists, We always look at the whole person. We look at, you know, we help them with all sorts of aspects, well, all of the aspects that affect their health and their well-being. And I know personally, obviously, of course, you know, the majority of my clients, not all of them, because, you know, some have been frontline, but the majority of my clients that I've been working with over the last 18 months have found themselves, you know, working from home, which has not been the norm, which has been, you know, something that they have struggled with and has come up a lot in their coaching sessions. So I guess a really great place to start would be to kind of maybe define, you know, what mental health under pressure means. Is that something?
No, that's a good point. You know, if you're asking me, what I think here is I kind of use the word stress.
Yeah.
You know, stressors. And I think I started walking through that couple of ideas that I'm seeing in a lot of my conversations. You know, talk about FOMO. You know, people are feeling, you know, missing out at the office if they're missing out on, you know, that eye to eye contact with their boss or their team, knowing that, you know, their communication's working. So that's a stressor. You know, you can do it on Zoom, but a lot of times you can get done in 20 minutes face to face, but it takes 2 hours on a Zoom call. So,
yeah,
you know, there's stress there, you know, and that's a work thing. Also, you know, if you're working from home, family interruptions.
Yeah.
You know, you yes. Kids running around in the background, you know, the dog.
Expect it soon.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's ways of dealing with all that, but you know, those are stressors. So I guess I'm going to use the word stressor here instead of mental health or pressure. But at the end of the day, you know, there's also the social life. You know, a lot of people, there's two things. They love the idea of going to the office because they can leave work at the office. When they're home, it's their personal time. Now that separation is blurred. And it's the same thing with the social life. You know, a lot of your friends or people you work with, now you're isolated from them. It's a lot tougher to have that social connection. And of course, you know, depending on where you are in your work from home direction, you know, there could be financial pressures. You know, you could be facing unemployment or relocation or, you know, changes in family. You know, one example came up to me earlier this week. I was talking to somebody who said, yeah, it's like, so if my son breaks his arm, I have to take him to the emergency room. And the emergency room's overrun with COVID patients. I said, well, I get the right care? Or do I need to worry about COVID? You know, there's just so many different mental, you know, mental stressors there to talk about. So I don't know if you guys want to comment on those, but that's just what I'm seeing.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree with all of those points, definitely. And I'd love to know whether anybody watching, you know, can relate to any of those, whether any of them are things that they are struggling with now, things that they've struggled with in the past, things that they have experienced. But also as well, I wanted to, one of the things that you did mention, which I think is an important point to pick up on, is around this, you know, working from home, the family interruption, working from home, the family interruptions when working from home, etc. And I want to kind of, you know, for some people, you know, and everybody's experience is going to be different. But for me in particular, I mean, I worked from home quite a lot. A lot of my coaching before COVID was online because I work internationally. And I used to find that having my children at home was really, you know, it was something that was frowned upon. And I used to really, really struggle with that work-life balance, being a single mum and trying to build a business and having, like I said, even having one-to-one clients. You know, I couldn't have ever imagined having my children at home, but some days that would happen. And if my children were at home, I felt like I had to cancel all of my clients. Whereas then, of course, the pandemic came along and all of a sudden it was okay. You know, people were all of a sudden understanding if my children burst in or, you know, or even when I had one-to-one clients, if I was like, look, really sorry, the children are at home, but they're upstairs in their bedroom, they're not going to interrupt us. It kind of almost, it was a bit of a, you know, a bit of a sigh of relief for me. And I think that, you know, feeling that I had to, you know, juggle those things and be this perfect professional beforehand was probably having more of an impact. I mean, obviously other things around working from home have had an impact on you know, on everybody's mental health. I'm not going to lie, you know, even my children's mental health, of course. But I think, well, I say of course, but, you know, but yeah, I do think that there have been some things that maybe have released a little bit of pressure for some people. Would you agree with that? And do you think that that is true in any other area? I mean, obviously, I'm talking from my own perspective in terms of, you know, being a mom with young children. So it's actually made my ability to be, you know, to be able to build my business. It's made it a bit, it's facilitated it a little bit. But yeah, but obviously there have been other issues. Yeah. Is there any comments on any of that from either of you or anybody who's watching? Has anybody else found that there is less pressure on them in any other area since they've been able to work from home?
Well, I could chime in on that. I think there's a lot of pressures there. You know, there's, I think I call them side effects. You know, like you said, you know, the stress you may have personally working from home does trickle down to, you know, your children.
Yes.
And they may have their own situation, you know, if they're remote learning or whatever's going on in their lives, then they feel that impact as well. The funny part is I've done work from home for about 25 years now.
Yeah.
So, you know, I've lived through all these different, I call them tripwires, but, you know, at the end of the day, it's like all these different situations. You know, when you start working from home, the wife says, oh, guess what? You're in the house. I can talk to you anytime I want. So they're bursting in on meetings. I mean, you're worried about the kids and the dogs. It's like, it's the adults sometimes. But, you know, there's ways of dealing with that. Maybe we can talk through that in a little bit here. You know, nutrition and exercise are big factors. If we talk about a lot of people have anxiety, you know, you call it FOMO, but maybe we should talk about it as anxiety. And there's different ways of dealing with that. You know, there's ground rules, there's physical activity and, you know, nutrition. You guys can chime in on that quite a bit.
Yeah. And I'm like you, I've worked from home for upwards of 20 years myself. And so I even worked from home while we were homeschooling our two young kids. And so that was really interesting to coordinate that. But it's interesting now that so many people are doing it, because for me, it's always felt just kind of natural, just part of my normal life. And in many ways, I found that it was less stressful under certain circumstances, because I was able to do more with my kids at different times, you know, where if you're working in an office, you can't really just leave and go do something and then come back and continue working.
Right.
Whereas at least the company that I work for, they are very flexible with how they allow us to use our time. And so if we do want to run out and do something with the family in the middle of the day, it's okay, because I don't typically interact with customers on a right now basis. It's more, it's structured a little bit different. So for me, that it was actually, I would say, less stressful to work from home. But there's, of course, those interactions that you have where where the family sometimes takes for granted that dad's just always available, almost right. Like he doesn't even have a job, that's just kind of a little hobby he does here and there.
No, it makes perfect sense. I've had the same exact, you know, experiences. You know, I guess I would write it back. Once you start putting everything in perspective, like you have, Jeff, you know, there's times when it's stressful when you get those interruptions, and then you realize it's like, you can just write it off. It's like, oh yeah, that's Johnny, meet Johnny, you know, meet Sally, running through the background, the dog needs to go out, type things. And you can talk your way through it and feel very, very comfortable with it. Mm-hmm. But where was I going to go with that idea? So, I think a lot of times I'll use the word ergonomics. You know, there's a health part about, you know, spending too much time in front of your blue screens.
Yes.
I think you read about that, you know, with the mobile devices. But, you know, there's a study, I don't know, it's probably 10 years old now, talked about, you know, every hour you should get up and take 5 minutes and just get away from your desktop, get away from your monitor type thing. So when you're working from home, those little interruptions aren't too bad. Mm-hmm. When you need to go out and talk to somebody and say, hey, I'm going to take a break in an hour. You got me at the top of the hour for 5 minutes. Don't worry. And it makes it easier. Then you're not stressed. They're not stressed. Everybody gets the attention. Work from home makes it a little easier.
Yeah.
And then you enjoy it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Absolutely. Sorry, you're going to say something. I think that's a really great point about what you say about, because again, this is something that I've said, you know, kind of getting up and having to, because otherwise, you know, if you, you know, when you're working in an office, when you're working, and this is something I've really, really worked with a lot of my clients on as well, is to have those breaks is to, and like you say, sometimes it just happens naturally because you've got those interruptions. Whereas when I've got clients that have been working in offices, it's almost, you know, getting them to set alarms and reminders to have those breaks, because what will happen is it's not until it's too late that, you know, that recognizing they've got backache, or they're starting to feel, or they've got, you know, or they're getting a headache or something, you know, already by the time their body's communicating with them that they need to move, it's too late almost, isn't it? Whereas if they can stay on top of it and just get that movement in regularly, it's really important. So sometimes, like you say, it can happen naturally and fluidly when they're at home. And it's, I think as well, when it comes to, I find when it comes to the nutrition side of things, there's two camps, I think. I say two, you're probably going to come in and say there's more than two. but I think, you know, in my experience with my clients, and again, I would love to know anybody who's watching what their experience has been with this, because for some people, they have found that actually working from home has given them the ability to, you know, the opportunity to be more structured with their eating, to focus more on whole fresh foods that they can cook from scratch, you know, and they've really used that opportunity to do that, because maybe they were in an office before, or they were out and about before, and they were just grabbing what they could here and then, whereas now all of a sudden they've got less commute, so they're using their commute time to be productive and get their movement in and get their preparation in. Especially the clients that I've been working with. but then you've got other people who have, you know, have struggled, have not forethought it, have thought to themselves, right, I'm at home, don't need to worry about it, food's always available, so, you know, I'll be okay. But then they're probably, especially when you've got those little diet gremlins in your head that are saying, you know, try and go as long as you can without eating, you know, you don't need to eat yet, and then it'll end up coming to, you know, okay, suddenly I'm hungry, I'm just going to grab anything I can, and because I've got a cupboard full of, you know, full of whatever, you know, I want to eat is there, I'm just going to grab the first thing because I've let myself go too far. I've not been planning in my breaks. I've not been taking the time out. So, and also as well, the issue of, so that's on one side of the spectrum. And then you've got the other issue of people just constantly grazing, constantly going and emotionally eating when they're procrastinating or finding that they're not having that social interaction that they would normally have in the office. So that's kind of, you know, there's been, well, I've almost maybe described three camps there already myself. But yeah. I think there's two camps of people that have really struggled in terms of maintaining structure and in terms of maintaining healthy habits while at home. And then other people that have really kind of, you know, excelled with it and used the opportunity to get into good habits that then have served them and they've started going back to the office. I don't know. Yeah, go on. Sorry.
I was going to say, I agree. Yeah. You know, I think in my mind, you know, I'm mapping everything to work from home. And I think you are too, just talk, you know, taking the nutrition point of view. You know, what I see is, you know, three camps, like you said, you know, three schools of thought. I kind of break it down to the 80-20. You know, there's 20% that work from home. They're living the best days of their life. They know exactly what to do. They know how to allot their time. They're figuring out how to eat better and better, exercise more. They're probably more fit than they've ever been. So it's been the best experience. Mm-hmm. And then there's the other 80%, which I kind of break into, you know, two schools. You know, one is people are struggling, but they're figuring it out, which is a lot of this conversation. And then, you know, when we got into the mental health part, there's people who are just like absolutely lost. You know, they put on the COVID pounds, you know, they bought the new running shoes and, you know, bought the, you know, stuff their fridge full of, you know, greens, thinking that they're going to be, you know, awesome eaters and work out, and then they don't do it. And it's just almost a reverse effect. They're walking backwards. I don't know how you guys feel about that, but I hear and see a lot of it.
Yeah. I don't know if you want to mention anything there. I mean, I could go on about that as well.
I know that my, well, the company that I work for in my day job is located in Albuquerque, New Mexico. And all of us can work from home anytime we want. In fact, I live in Houston, Texas, so obviously I work from home 100% of the time. But a lot of people who work in the office enjoyed working in the office. We've all worked together for over 20 years, most of us about 25, even 30, 35 years there. And so we have all worked there. It's basically like a family. And so what happened during when COVID hit was that in New Mexico in particular, there were a lot of lockdowns and regulations on working in the office, how many could work there and so forth. So everybody had to work from home for a very long period of time. So for me, it was normal. But a lot of the people I work with were just so excited to be able to get back to going to the office. Mm-hmm. And it was, I think it was because of that. I don't know all of the struggles that each person may have had individually, but it certainly was something that a number of them clearly were excited about and looked forward to having the ability to go back to work because they thrived on that social interaction. And there was actually a point in my, this was probably 2013, maybe 2014, can't remember. But I was actually considering looking for another position because it was a very stressful time with a number of other things that were going on with my wife's health in particular, and I was lacking in that social support from the workplace environment. So I was considering looking for a position that would allow me to work in an office again. And so I don't know if you've encountered people with that kind of mentality with working from home, but I think that kind of falls into those two camps that you were talking about there with that 80-20.
Yeah, I've seen that. There's a lot of people just can't wait to get back in the office, and there's a growing crowd that are actually liking, if you want to call it a hybrid, work a couple of days at home and work, or have the, if I want to take Monday and Friday and work from home, and I'll be in the office, Tuesday, Thursday, they really like that idea because they like the, like in New York City, mm-hmm. I saw this cartoon, I forget how it went, but it was all about how you can't be alone in New York City because there's just so many people. Mm-hmm. So they like the idea of working from home. It's like, they get their personal space, they get the chance to, think through, their work and be more productive, and taking that Monday, Friday type approach, gives them a chance to jumpstart the week and then, finish it up without, carrying it into the weekend and get done exactly what they need to do. So, that's a point of view, but that's what I'm seeing too. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I personally quite like the whole hybrid thing as well. I definitely do like it. That's what's quite nice as well about the work that I do now and work that I've always done really is that I've got local clients who I get to see face to face. And then I've got clients, that I have to work from home because I have to do it over Zoom or Teams or whatever. And of course there is that because, in terms of for me as well, and I know, again, this is something that a lot of clients have said, kind of that not being stuck in traffic, not commuting, not having to worry about getting from one place to another. Again, that's something that has probably alleviated some stress. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I will. In fact, I was going to pose a question to you because, on the hybrid type conversation, the one thing I miss and don't miss about New York City, normally before COVID, I was definitely going to visit clients, traveling around the city, being in different offices. So it wasn't like reporting to the office. So it was a little more flexible. But at the end of the day, what I've missed with COVID or working from home is the fact that I used to get 10,000 steps in the morning, just go hike down, catch a train, and, hike up a flight of stairs and get to somebody's office. And, it's funny, you don't think of that as exercise, but it's just really nice to get out and move. I think there's some mental health factors there. But I guess the question I was going to ask is, in a hybrid type situation, do you think people are going to, what good habits they might have learned work from home, taking back to the office?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. Do you want, is there anything you want to offer there, Jeff, or do you want me to?
No, I think that's a great question. Yeah, it's a great question because I think habits is an important part of staying healthy. And it's an important part of being productive. And when your environment changes like that, your habits are often put in place and structured and stacked together in a way that's relying on this routine that you have. And so you have a certain habit of going to the gym on your way to going to the office in the morning. And then when now you aren't going to the office, that throws a wrench in the right. works. Even if you can still go to the gym before you start work, it messes up your flow. I know that happens with me. If my wife pops in at a particular time and asks me to do something, it's not like it's a big deal, but it breaks up my flow of my habits that are kind of all stacked together. And when one gets broken, then it messes up that stack and that flow. And so, so I could see how that change could impact that. You got into some habits at home and now you're back to going to the office, but I can also see how it could be a positive for some people also.
Yeah. Definitely. And it's interesting though, as well, because I think what you mentioned, again, it varies massively, because like what you mentioned about being out and taking the stairs and maybe, you know, getting more, I've seen some clients that have probably been more sedentary while they've been at home. And because they've found, and this is something that I think a lot of my clients have struggled with, is they've found that they feel that they've got to be more present. So they don't feel that they can, you know, take, like if you're in an office and you want to go, you know, get yourself a drink and go for a walk around the office, or you need to, you know, or get up and go and talk to somebody, or, you know, it's almost like that's okay because you're in the office, you're at work. But clients that have been at home, they feel like they can't leave their computer for too long, or they can't, you know, they just feel like they can't get out and just have that walk for half an hour, or they can't have that 10 or 15 minute break like they maybe would have done in the office. So, you know, but then having said that, there are people, many of my clients that are working with that, like you said, they are making sure that they're getting in some movement or some exercise before work. I mean, I've definitely taken advantage of that. You know, I've definitely taken advantage of not having to get, you know, to deal with the commute, et cetera, and being, you know, really enjoyed being able to find a better balance with my family, you know, with my children, being able to take them to school in the morning because, you know, I'm not having to fight the traffic and stuff like that. And it's getting me out. It's getting me to do some movements. But then I must admit, you know, because then I'm trying to cram everything into so many hours when the children aren't there, it is difficult to get in those 10 or 15 minute breaks. I do get it, but it is about being disciplined, isn't it? And it's about making sure that you are making a commitment to yourself just as much as you are making a commitment to your employer or your business or your clients. Because if you do not make that commitment to yourself, you're never going to be, you're never going to show up as the best person that you can show up as.
No, I agree. I was going to comment on one of the couple things you just said there.
Go for it.
Yeah. No, it's funny because, you know, I've always got that work from home that not in the back of my head. So that's the way I think. But at the end of the day, I have done some office time when you have to be in the office. And there's just like little tips and techniques that, you know, you don't have to relearn. Or maybe, as Jeff said, it kind of has that domino effect on your schedule. It's like you set aside, you know, 30 minutes to run today. Let's just use that as an example. And your wife wants to have a 10-minute conversation about something important. Well, you're not going to ignore conversation, but now you only have 20 minutes to run. So where are you going to get that extra 10 minutes back? Or do you even worry about it? Kind of lost. But the comment I was going to make was kind of the tips and techniques. Once you get comfortable with that, like one thing I love to do when I was in the office, it's the same thing as I said, you know, getting up once an hour. Like you said, Rebecca, set that timer. Get up and walk around, you know, freshen up your tea, your coffee, get some water, just get away from the screen is a really healthy thing to do. So on the flip side, what I also practice, I use the same thing at the office. I don't know if Steve Jobs or if it's an Apple thing, but having walking meetings.
Yes.
Standing up. And in New York City, you know, you think I made the comment earlier, it's like you can't be alone. There's so many people. Well, actually going outside, if it's a good day, and having a walking meeting, walking around the block, the ambiance of so many people, all the noise is almost white noise. So your meeting is actually very private. It's just you on, you know, one-to-one, you talking to somebody, you just walk around the block, maybe you go get coffee, who knows? You take 10 minutes and you get that 10 minutes back. You get something done. And that way, if you have to restructure your day, it's a lot more effective. Now I'm just sharing, you know, ideas that I've used.
Yeah, no,
I think they're highly effective.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Really, really simple, but effective. And that's, again, a strategy that I use myself. And I get a lot of clients as well to do as well. And I think, I mean, I'd love as well, if anybody who is watching has got any anything that they've tried, or anything that we mentioned that they would go ahead and try, then please do tell us. But are there any strategies that you've implemented similar to what David's just mentioned there? Because again, you don't have to do that with a person. You can do that on a call as well. Like, exactly. You know, if you're having a phone call, there are times when I'll say to clients, you know, how about we do a, rather than doing a Zoom, you know, let's do, you're telling me that you've planned in time to talk to me today. Let's do it over the phone so that you can get your steps in and you can walk at the same time. You know, and get some movement in. Now that things are easing a little bit as well, you know, I've even done sessions, client sessions in the gym, you know, just to, because, you know, and I think I was a bit nervous about doing that to begin with, not the walk-in. There's a couple of things actually I'm going to say here is that when I was doing, because when I'm on a Zoom with a client, I like to make notes. I like to make sure, you know, that I'm jotting down the things that are important, but without trying to distract, because, you know, it's finding that fine balance, isn't it, between, you know, making notes and also being present. But this is the thing. I found that when I was maybe having a call with a client and walking around the block or something like that, I was more present. Because I wasn't, you know, trying to take notes or I wasn't getting distracted with the screen in front of me. I was in nature. I was in fresh air. And I actually found that, yeah, I was definitely more present and more available for my client. Definitely. It was a more client-centered approach when I did that because I wasn't distracted by my environment. I was in the moment. I was being more mindful. Okay, which is so, so important. That's an important part of my coaching, but it's sometimes difficult, you know, when you're in your kitchen or you've got your kids in the background or you've got, or you're in front of a screen. So I found that to be really, you know, useful with clients. But also the same with being in the gym. I remember when it was a client who actually suggested the gym. She was like, can we do it in the gym? And I was a bit like, oh, you know, am I going to be able to really get into what we need to get into? Am I going to be able to get you to focus? And actually it was, I think it's almost because I was more aware of it. Again, I was more aware of what was going on in that moment that it actually made the sessions more productive. So yeah, I think that's a great idea. I think, you know, walking meetings, you know, in person with or on the phone or, you know, anything like that, I think is a really, I'm not saying it's something you have to do all of the time, but it's definitely something I've practiced. And again, with clients, I always suggest as well, if they're saying, I can't squeeze in. One of my clients recently, you know, he was telling me he felt guilty. He was one of my clients that felt guilty for taking some time in the middle of the day. It's like, no one will probably notice, but I just feel guilty for taking that time. So I'm like, okay, so where can you have a phone call instead of a Zoom? And how can you get outside and get some fresh air and get some movement in while doing that?
Yeah.
I don't know if anybody watching has tried that and how they found it.
Shall we pause and see if anybody responds?
Well, carry on, because what
was... Yeah, I was going to say, I've seen and I've done it myself where I'm starting to learn how to use Zoom and FaceTime more and more frequently. When I'm on these type walks, like you said, have that call on the walk around the block.
Yeah.
No focus, but I've done, you know, sometimes it feels more personal when you're actually on a video. It's like, yeah. Oh, they can see the trees behind you and, you know, yeah. The people and the dogs and whatever. Mm-hmm. And they like it, you know, yeah. You feel more genuine, I think, when you look at it that way. I know this whole conversation is around mental health, but I think those are great techniques for, you know, somebody work from home or in the office, hybrid, whatever.
Yeah.
I think those things are important because I think they contribute to our mental health and maybe you can comment on that, how you see these different actions and techniques and strategies contribute to mental health. Because for me, that is a really important part of what I do on a day-to-day basis and how it's going to impact it. So, you know, I do things like I take a nap in the middle of the day every day. That's my routine. And even if I'm not sleepy or something, I'll still lay down and close my eyes and just kind of breathe and just take a break in that way. And yeah, maybe you can comment on how all of these different things do impact mental health.
Well, if you're asking me, I'm the armchair expert here. So
yeah,
at the end of the day, you know, what I've seen and actually what I practice. So it's always nice to talk about what you actually do. Mm-hmm. You know, We can talk about nutrition, but yeah, that physical activity, what we talked about, the walk around the block, just the movement, I think is critical. And you hit on napping. You know, sometimes people call that meditation. It's just taking that, that quiet time, you know, maybe going to an empty room, close the door. And I power nap. I'm realizing more, it's probably more meditation, because I'll just sit still and close my eyes for like 6 minutes, and it's worth like 4 hours of sleep. I just, when I open my eyes up, sometimes I set an alarm. Sometimes I just naturally, you know, open up, you know, like I took just a quick nap, and I just feel so refreshed, and the whole day is ahead of me again, just like it was at, you know, 6 a.m. So, you know, stuff like that, I think is really, really good. And I don't know much about yoga or some of those other type disciplines, but that seems more like a combination of exercise, movement, and that type of meditation to get you there.
Yeah, and I love, that's always a big part of the programs that I do. It's, you know, it's been a big part of the group program that I'm doing at the moment, is that mindfulness. And one of the tasks, I suppose, for one of the actions that the group that I'm working with at the minute, they have to make sure that they're taking 10 minutes a day. Yeah, they're taking 10 minutes a day where they are just, you know, no distractions. They're just taking 10 minutes to sit with their own thoughts. And, you know, one of the guys in the group, I mean, they're busy people. The people that I'm working with, you know, they are, you know, they're business people, they're running businesses, they've got families. And it was really, really difficult for them in the beginning. It was really difficult for them to just take 10 minutes for themselves. But the impact, I think, you know, it's so, so simple. And, you know, that's been the feedback as well. It's so simple, but yet so effective. You know, the impact that it has had in terms of helping them to calm their mind, you know, relieve the stress and the anxiety that they've been experiencing. So just do not underestimate, you know, how just even just 10 minutes a day, you know, just think how many times we do just procrastinate for 10 minutes a day. You know, how many times we're sitting there thinking, right, trying to break through that brick wall. You know, when you tell it, right, I'm going to block this time out to do X, Y, Z. And then you sit there and it just doesn't come, does it? So sometimes just taking 10 minutes, you know, and you could do it, like you say, you could lay down, you could do it walking if you want to do it walking, or just, you know, or just sitting and just making sure that. But one thing I will say, you know, is that don't, you know, make those 10 minutes productive, make your break productive. And what I mean by that is no phones, no distractions, switch off. Because if you're going to sit there and take 10 minutes and then you're going to scroll through your phone, or you're going to check your email quickly and then just, you know, it's just completely negating the whole point. And my clients want to be more productive, you know? And so if they're going to make their 10 minutes, they need to make their 10 minutes productive. They need to make it a meaningful break. But that's just one of the things, you know, I talk about, because so many times we are stuck in that kind of stressed state, aren't we? You know, and rather than, you know, making sure that we're regulating our stress by taking those breaks and calming ourselves down can really, really help to get us out. I mean, sometimes we need, you know, sometimes being in that state is important. You know, we need to, sometimes that adrenaline is good and it drives us, et cetera. But constantly being in that state is not healthy. You know, and it just, yeah. So just 10 minutes can just take you out of that, help you to regroup and make you more productive, happier, more energized. You know, energy levels have increased when the clients that have been working with have said that. Productivity levels, sleep. Sleep's been a massive one. It just, you know, even helps with sleep. And also another big one that really has helped a lot of my clients with their energy and their sleep is to get outside in the morning, you know, as early as, you know, just trying to, because I think that, you know, a lot of the times we think about sleep as just being something that we do in the evening and we only need to focus on it like from a certain time to a certain time. But actually it's what we do throughout the day and how we act throughout the day, that the behaviors that we have throughout the day that impact, you know, it's a 24-hour cycle, isn't it? So if you're getting up in the morning and you're getting out and you're getting into, you know, you're getting out into the sunshine, or I'll say the sunshine, just outside.
Right.
It can have such an impact. Doing that in the morning can have such an impact on your sleep that following night.
No, I fully agree there. I've got two ideas here I'd love to discuss.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just springboard off what you said there. Got enough time here. What is this session, about an hour?
Yeah. We usually finish at one.
Okay. So, you know, the first thing I was thinking about, you know, we're talking about mental health and work from home. I'm starting to use the word anxiety. And I think a lot of the different things we just talked about for the past couple of minutes here are great techniques on how to alleviate that or sidestep it or, you know, make work from home work for you.
Yeah.
You know, make the situation less stressful.
Yeah.
And a lot, I think a lot of the techniques, I guess this is the comment I wanted to make, was the fact that we're talking about, you know, the healthy side of things. But and then, Rebecca, you went into the productive side of the conversation. I think there's also a psychology and I like to call it the creative side. Getting away, if it's, you're anxious and just need to step away from the screen, step away from a meeting, just step away from the office, or just step out of the house, you know, for whatever reason, clearing your mind, just that new perspective, seeing something different, just changes your thinking pattern just ever so smallly, but, you know, just kind of jumps away from the anxiety and gets you into maybe a more creative state, which makes you more productive. And I like to talk about creativity because that's usually where people get their best ideas.
Yes.
You know, and that's kind of, I wanted to go into the second point. I don't know if you guys have read the book. What's it called? Miracle Mornings?
No.
Yeah. Oh, you should read it. I forget who wrote it. It was a German guy. But anyway, at the end of the day, the whole idea is he had just five things. He says, if you do every morning, you have more creativity, more productivity, more clear mind throughout the day that you're better focused. And I don't know if I can recall all five of them. I think there's actually seven, and he said, just pick five. You know, one was, you know, first thing you get up in the morning, don't touch your technology.
Yeah.
Phone, you know, whatever. I said, go through your morning, get your tea, get your coffee. Do you walk? If you work out, that's number two. Get exercise. Exercise first thing. And then talked about, you know, drinking a certain amount of water, you know, rehydrating your body after a long night's sleep. And then there is, of course, journaling or meditation, you called it, where basically you write down, because your thoughts are the freshest first part of the day. You're probably the most creative. Like, capture those when you can. Are you smiling at me or do you have something going on?
No, I'm smiling at you because I'm okay. I want to say. Carry on.
Yeah, you know. So I'm trying to recall, you know, the key points, but the whole idea was just those particular habits first thing in the morning. And it only takes maybe 20 minutes at rising and it becomes amazing.
Talking about interruptions, my son is just behind me now. Leo.
Well, we all have those administrative assistants.
Go on. I've been meeting since, the battery's fallen out of the remote control. Did you finish your book, darling? Say hi. This is Jeff and this is David. Say hello.
Hello.
David's in New York. David lives in New York, Leo. I know you want to go to New York and you want to go to Texas, don't you? Mm-hmm. There you go, baby. I'll be there soon. Sorry. Sorry. Yeah, go on.
No, I'm kind of finishing that point. You know, the whole idea, you know, I love that book. I need to reread it now, now that I mentioned it. And also, you know, just that point about, you know, taking those breaks, I think makes you more productive.
Yeah.
Gives you more creativity, which adds to your professional and personal life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I haven't read Miracle Mornings, but a lot of that, and a lot of that I work with clients on as well, because I've found, yeah, definitely that. I mean, I not just in the mornings, but in the evenings as well, I always say, you know, get your phone away from the side of your bed, you know, move your phone to the other side of the room and make sure that the first thing in the morning is your time, because the minute you pick up your phone, the minute you start looking at your messages or scrolling through your social media, that's it. You know, you've given up that time, that headspace that is yours. You know, you're suddenly somebody else's. So, I totally agree with that.
Keyword there, headspace.
Yes.
That's what it's all about.
Yes. Exactly. And this is what this does, isn't it? It gives you that headspace. Getting up. And I mean, I was only talking about this yesterday because we're talking about coffee first thing in the morning. And I, you know, again, trying to make sure that you do hydrate yourself is the best, you know, it's what you need to do when you've been sleeping, and you need to kind of, it will give you more energy. It will help you, you know, it will just help you to be more productive, definitely. And also as well, I love the idea of exercising or doing something in the first thing in the morning as well, because I think for me, you know, they're the three things that I've really been. I've tried all of it. I've tried to do the journal in the first thing in the morning. I've tried to do various other things, but for me, just those three things seem to be the best things that stick with me, because I've found, and I don't know whether this is just. No, actually, when I look back, I think there are different stages in your life as well where different things will be better for you at that time. Does that make sense? So for me, first thing in the morning is the best time for me to get up and do some exercise and do some movement. I'm not actually the most creative first thing in the morning. I've tried to be. The amount of times I've tried to sit there and think, right, I'm going to do my content in the morning, or I'm going to write my plan, or I'm going to, I mean, it's good for me to in the mornings to plan what I'm going to do that day, to block. I do try and do that as much as possible. Definitely think, right, I'm going to block. These are the three key things I need to get done today. You know, I need to make sure I get those done, because I used to be terrible for writing massive lists and then getting frustrated when I didn't get them all done. So I try and keep them small and simple. And then if I get more done, even better. But I do find that I'm more creative towards the end of the day. And I don't know whether that is because, you know, I've got kids at home. I don't have the headspace always. It's almost tends to be at the end of the day when my kids are in bed. I find that, and even in fact, I always find that my most creative moments seem to come at that time, just between kind of, you know, dropping off in sleep. And I remember reading something, was it Einstein or not that I'm, but I think somebody who said that their best moments used to come, their light bulb moments used to come in that kind of stage. In between, I think, what did someone say that they used to, I don't know if it's like, or somebody, where they used to set a prompt or something to stop them just from falling asleep. Because that stage in between falling asleep and about to, I can't remember, there must be a word for it, but that was when they used to find that their most creative moments.
They used to call it twilight, but.
But again, everybody is different, because I know a lot of people are more creative and much, much more productive in the mornings. But I do think how you structure your morning or the routine that you have in the morning can absolutely set you up for the rest of the day. Totally agree with that.
Yeah, it's almost a less is more kind of a thing. You know, a lot of people, I think a lot of those points that you were making, David, that those are things that a lot of people would think of as unproductive times. And, you know, I'm not doing my work. And so therefore I'm not being productive. And rather looking at it strategically as how do these different things that I'm doing that aren't directly job tasks, how do those help me to actually do my job better, to perform better, to come up with better ideas, to be more creative, to be a better problem solver? And often it's those things that have nothing at all to do with work that actually make our job more productive and make us a better employee, a better worker, better manager, and all of that. And, you know, we talk about this a lot with our nutrition clients. Many times we help them make massive improvements in their nutrition, doing things that have absolutely nothing to do with the food itself. Yeah. And, you know, many of my client calls we don't even mention food. And so that's kind of an odd thing for people when they think about talking to a nutritionist. But, you know, coming back to what you were saying earlier, David, I think those are some great points that you were making about how to just really set yourself up for success.
Yeah, totally. I mean, I posted something the other day, and I think it was after when I'd been to the gym and I had like one of a real light bulb moment, a real creative moment when I was in the gym or I was running. Well, I can't have been running because I haven't been able to run the kids being off. But I can take the kids to the gym, so that's a bonus. I actually shared this on my social media and I said, you know, how many times do you find that your most creative moments come when you're not working, when you are? And somebody posted something which I thought was pure gold. And it said, my most creative moments, my best ideas come at the weekend. And then, you know, when I'm switched off, when I'm not thinking about work, and then they come, and then during the week is the time to implement them. You know, during the week is when I'll put all of the creativity into action. And I was like, my God, that's so true. And that's almost like kind of how I mean, you know, my creativity tends to come in the evenings or when I'm relaxing. And then it's about kind of putting it into place. And I must admit, writing content for me is easier in the evenings. But anyway,
Well, I totally agree with that. And, you know, just to, you know, say something using some of Jeff's words there. I think a lot of people don't allow themselves, don't give themselves. They think they're non-productive or wasting time, or they think they're missing out. They need to be doing something else. Mm-hmm. So, you know, taking those 2 minutes to daydream or, you know, walk through a thought, I think is important. And this, I thought you were going to hand on this quote, Rebecca, but it was really cute. And I don't know who said it, so I'll say it loosely. It talks about boredom is the playground for creativity, I think is the way it went. The whole idea was,
what is boredom?
Study from kids. It's like, if the kids have, you know, their game box and TV and, you know, school and whatever else is always occupying their time, they're not really thinking outside the box or being creative. Mm-hmm. Where if they have absolutely nothing to do and they got to figure it out, you know, I did it with my kids, and I actually watched this, you know, they'll yell. It's like, Mom, Dad, I'm bored.
Yes.
You say, find something to do. And 5 minutes later, they are drawing up and creating all types of art and just figuring it out. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to use art as the creativity side of it, but.
Well, did you put, you, I think, did you comment, David, on the post that I posted of my son earlier in the week? Was it you that posted?
I said something about a future engineer. But he was doing the tsunami.
Yeah, but what I'm saying, yeah, but that's in perfect illustration of the point, yeah? I mean, I always do. I mean, my eldest moans like mad, you know? Yeah. He's like, I don't want to go out. I don't want to do this. I just want to do, be on my Xbox, be on this, be on that. But I'm like, you know, I'm always like, every day we're going to get out. We're going to do something. And, yeah, so we just went for a walk around this lake somewhere I'd never been before. Yeah. But you saw that just being outside, just, you know, it just gave Leo that opportunity to work through. I mean, he wanted me to record him doing a video. Yeah. You know, so.
And just throw a stone in the pond.
Yeah, mm-hmm. but that's what I mean.
You get an idea. It's like, oh, I got an idea.
But it was a learning process for him, wasn't it? And I was questioning him, you know, and I was asking him questions to help him, you know, expand his, you know, his learning and his thinking and his thought process. But it's like you said, it's that headspace, isn't it?
Yeah. So I guess I don't know how much time we have here, but, you know, and taking that same idea about, you know, the anxiety of not giving yourself the space to have those moments. How do you see, you guys are the experts now, how do you see nutrition working on reducing anxiety in the workplace, work at home, or just boosting creativity? I don't know.
Yeah, well, I'll briefly comment on that. There's definitely a physiological aspect to it. You know, there's certain foods that benefit us. Carbohydrate has a certain impact on us. Fat has an impact, protein, and all of these different nutrients. And I think we often get fixated on the food itself. But I think that Rebecca would probably agree with me here on this, that our relationship with our food and how we think about food and how we use it across the course of our day-to-day life plays a really important role in managing stress, managing anxiety, because so many, our culture and our society set us up for anxiety and stress around food itself, because so many people struggle with it, and it's so readily accessible to most of us. And so I think that, you know, when it comes to the nutrition aspect, I almost think that it's more so around how we eat rather than the specifics of what we eat. And I think that has a larger impact overall on our just complete overall picture of health.
Totally. I think the how needs to come before the what, definitely. Mm-hmm. And that's even how I structure, not everything, it depends on the client, but most of the clients that I work with, you know, I tend to attract clients that do have struggles, that maybe don't have the best relationship with food or their bodies. So we always look at the how before the what. Because, yes, Leah?
Yeah, I think one of the things that a lot of people neglect is just simply prioritizing feeding themselves. So, you know, you talked about taking a nap and taking time to be creative and taking time away from your work and how beneficial that is to being more productive. And I think a lot of people don't prioritize just simply feeding themselves something, and they either think, oh, I shouldn't be eating that. That's not on my diet. Or, oh, I can skip lunch because I'll be more productive. I'll get more done if I don't. And it just backfires in many ways.
So I think, Leo, 1 minute, you can show me 1 minute. I'm really sorry. This is a great example. But I think, yeah, and I think what a lot of people do forget and what a lot of people miss, and this is exactly what my new program starting next week is going to focus on, is the basics. You know, they overcomplicate it. And this then puts stress and pressure on them. And, you know, and they think, right, I need to eat in a certain way. I need to eat a certain food, or I need to eliminate this, or I need to eliminate that. And it really is. And one of my clients this morning had this light bulb moment. It really is. It is just about the simple things of making sure that they're eating regularly, making sure that they're getting all of the macronutrients, getting enough carbohydrates, getting enough fiber, making sure that they are staying hydrated. It really is just, you know, keeping it simple. If people keep their nutrition simple, instead of following another fad diet or going on another, you know, going on another prescriptive meal plan, which just adds pressure and adds stress, you know, the best thing we can do is just to keep it simple and go back to basics.
No, that makes perfect sense. I think I was going to comment on something Jeff was saying, and you just kind of jumped on it yourself, Rebecca, you know, talking about sometimes people get anxious about eating well. You know, if they're going to get to eat, if they're hungry, you know, mm-hmm. how they should pace themselves, you know, what they should be eating. And I think we said earlier in the conversation, you know, some people sometimes they can't wait till lunch, so they just grab whatever's around, which may not be the perfect food. So how do you get into that better routine and those better habits? Is that a guideline that you set up for yourself, or you say eat small meals? It's like if you need the snack. Make them healthy and then eat as much as you want or as often.
Okay. First of all, it's about structure, definitely, yeah. Setting a structure. And everybody will be different, of course, but there are some, you know, some basic principles that I always try to start with. And it is absolutely making sure that somebody is eating, you know, 3 meals a day with some planned snacks as well. But, you know, some people will do better with have it starting their meals later in the day. I've got some clients who are just like, I don't, you know, I can't have breakfast. It's funny actually, because one of the guys on my group program, this is one of the first things I do is to get people to, you know, look at making sure that they're structuring their days and they're having their 3 meals a day. And one client, he was like, I can't have breakfast. That's really, really difficult for me. But then he was telling me that he then later on in the day, he'd have times where he was feeling starving. He was having crashes. His energy was really dipping. And so I was like, okay, I understand that you may not want to have breakfast at 8 o'clock in the morning. Okay. But how about, and then we spoke about his weekends, and it was interesting because he said, yeah, I do tend to have like something at like 11, half 10, 11 at the weekends. And I said, and do you experience the same feelings of start, you know, feeling really starving, hungry later on in the day and then growing? And he was like, well, no, actually. So I said, how about we replicate that during the week? And okay, breakfast doesn't have to be 8 o'clock, but maybe you can have something at like 10, half 10, and then you can have your lunch at like 1. So what I'm trying to say is that, you know, I still think having 3 meals a day and some snacks, most people do need, but it might look different for each person. Right. And I would always say again, and I know Jeff will agree with me on this, is that when you are, and it doesn't have to be perfect, of course, this is should just be, you know, a structure that is flexible, but we should be thinking about with all of those meals and those snacks, you know, think about your snacks as mini meals, as Jeff always calls them, which I think is a great way of describing them. You know, your meals and your snacks should focus on, you know, carbs, protein, fats, carbohydrates as much as possible. You know, you should have those in each time, because then, you know, just making sure that you're eating regularly and you're giving your body, there's a reason there are free macronutrients. You know, they're there because we are supposed to have them at each meal or within each snack, well, as much as possible, because of the interplay of how they work in our bodies, how they fuel us. You know, we can't trick our bodies. Our bodies are very intelligent. They're very clever. And so just, you know, making sure that we are doing those simple things, I think, is super important. You know, it's super important for making sure that we are keeping our blood sugar stable. It's super important for making sure that we're giving ourselves enough energy. It's super important for making sure that we are thinking clearly. You know, we're avoiding that brain fog when we're doing that. Would you agree with that, Jeff? Or is there anything you want to add to that?
Oh yeah, no, yeah, definitely agree with that. That's an important thing. Just like with really anything, you know, leaving out any part of those things that, you know, kind of David was talking about earlier, all those different aspects to kind of helping us be a bit more well-rounded, I think, you know, whether it's in our eating, our diet, or whether it's our daily activity, being more well-rounded in all of those areas tends to make us just healthier overall, mentally, physically, psychologically, socially. Variety, we talk a lot in when we're talking about nutrition and how variety actually is one of the best ways to make sure you're getting the most nutritious diet. That means a variety of fruits and vegetables, a variety of desserts, a variety of protein sources, you get all of that variety, and that's going to probably make you the healthiest that you can be. And just like you were talking about earlier, all those little things that you can do in the morning, that variety of things can also help make you just a more productive person. Would you agree with that, David?
Oh, I would totally agree with that.
As well, how important it is to think in order to include variety in your diet. I think, you know, there has to be an element of planning and forethought as well. So that's again something that I always encourage, not stressing too much, not micromanaging your planning, but just having some forethought about, because can help with that variety, because I think that's really important as well, Jeff. And David.
No, I totally agree. I was going to say I'm probably the poster child of the individual who does not practice that well. But I'm kind of the reverse. I'm the guy I'll definitely get breakfast in the morning. Call it miracle morning, whatever. At the first of the day, you know, I get hydrated. 30 ounces of water has much bigger kick than a cup of coffee for me. The caffeine is just kind of overstimulating. But I think it's just because I'm dehydrated. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the point I'm getting at is...
It's probably why most of people act on coffee first.
But the thing I get to, what happens with me is, Rebecca used the word brain fog. I'll forget to eat. I'll get so busy that 2 o'clock in the afternoon, I start getting a brain fog. It's like, wow, what's going on here? And then I realize, like, oh, I haven't eaten for 8 hours. It's like, maybe I should eat something.
Yeah.
So it's not a matter of eating well sometimes. It's a matter of eating, period. Mm-hmm. I can go an entire day and it's like 10 o'clock at night. It's like, I'm out of it. It's like, oh, I didn't eat all day. It's like, how did I do that?
And then you wonder why you're raiding the pantry for anything and everything that you can find in there, because you're just you're ravenously hungry. And then you think, well, I'm an emotional eater. And it's, no, you're not. You're actually a starved eater.
Yeah.
I think we're running out of time here because I really wanted to talk about emotional eating. But
maybe we can do that
for another episode.
Yeah, absolutely. I think emotional eating is a huge topic that we could delve into more. And I think you've kind of opened the doorway to that, definitely. And the whole, you know, when we're ignoring our biological signals. But anyway, I don't think we're emotional eaters.
I definitely need to learn those better.
Yeah. Most people do. Most people do. We're conditioned from a very young age to ignore them. But again, that's another topic, definitely.
Yeah.
So before we wrap it up, is there anything you want to add there or clarify anymore or anything, either of you?
No, I think I'm good. I appreciate the time talking about, you know, I call it anxiety, but the mental health of working from home, you know, how that works with, we talked about tips and tricks on how to deal with anxiety in certain situations. And, you know, I'm very open to talk to anybody who wants to talk about more work from home ideas. We can go from there.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah, so I think that would be great for people to make sure that if they're needing some help in that area, you know, obviously Rebecca and I help, we coach people with their eating habits and focusing around that. But it sounds like you do a little more targeted work in coaching people around how they can kind of navigate that work from home environment a bit better. And I think that can be equally as valuable as nutrition or health coaching. And so I'm excited that there are people like you out there that do that kind of thing. So that's definitely a very valuable service.
Well, thank you. And that's the reason I originally reached out to Rebecca, because like I said, I'm an armchair expert on that stuff. I know nutrition's important, But I'd love to have somebody to refer to, you know, when they have better questions about how mm-hmm. do I eat, what do I eat, when do I eat.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think that's really important.
Yeah. No, thank you. Absolutely. We'll definitely have you back on.